Ladies and gentlemen, let me officially call this meeting to order tonight, Monday, March the 2nd, 2024. I'm going to ask Reverend Connors, but Mayor Connors, if he would, to give us an invocation and lead us in the pledge. Would everybody please stand?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for the many wonderful blessings that you continue to give to us each and every day. We thank you that you allowed us to rise early this morning and to see your magnificent work at hand. Tonight, Lord, we ask you to remember our farmers, remember the industries and the new industries that keep coming to Duplin County under your blessing. We ask you tonight, Lord, to bless the commissioners with the wisdom and knowledge that is needed to carry out the affairs of this wonderful county. And then, Father, we ask you to remember our county manager and assistant county manager as they travel from one place to another, cover them, protect them, and give them the guidance that is needed. And as we go forth in Duplin County, let us go together in unity, one mind, one set, for the better of our community. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let all of God's children say amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Foley. Ms. Maynard pointed out for the record it is March the 4th. I don't know what you said. It must have been something different.
I thought I said March the 4th, but...
You said the 2nd.
Okay. Well, that stands to be corrected. It is March the 4th. Obviously, I can't even read my numbers. Before we go any further, I just want to let everybody know that Brian is on with us through the computer system. That's all I'll say at this point, Brian. If you got anything you want to tell the group, that's up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you letting me attend remotely tonight.
Okay, thank you. All right. Do any commissioners have anything they want to add to the agenda?
No, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Madam Clerk?
No, sir. I have nothing to add. No, sir.
Stand-in assistant manager?
No, sir, but thank you.
County manager?
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right. With that said, I entertain a motion to accept the agenda as it is reported.
So moved.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. All right. I would entertain a approval of the minutes for the February 5th board meeting.
So moved.
Thank you.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? My paper says
5th.
So I decided I better read it the way it was. Okay. She corrects that to the 19th. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. I'd also entertain a motion for the joint meeting held on February the 20th at James Front with the Economic Development Commission Board.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. Any further comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. All right. Hopefully everybody's had time to look through the consent agenda. What's the pleasure of the board? I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Okay, that moves us right into our first item, public comment. Do we have anybody signed up?
No, sir.
Okay. Nobody has signed up, but this is your chance. If you want to speak, feel free. Thank you. That moves us right on in to item number 2. And that's taking road concerns, first off, from the commissioners. Any road concerns? All right. Now taking road concerns from the general public. Y'all are free to bring up any road concerns that you may have. Anybody back there in the back have a road concern?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hearing none, that moves us right on into number three. I call on Melissa Kennedy to come up to hold some public hearings.
Good evening. Melissa Kennedy couldn't be here tonight, so I'm going to hold the public hearings for her. I come before you to request a public hearing be held to receive public comments from the board and or the public to regarding a request from Richard Padrick to name a lane at 732 North NC 111 Highway, Beulahville, NC, North Gum Lane, in accordance with the Duplin County address and road naming ordinance.
So at this time, I'm going to open it up for a public hearing. Feel free to speak up from the public. Any concerns you may have. Hearing no concerns from the public, I'm going to close the public hearing and now ask the pleasure of the board.
Motion to approve.
So I have a motion to approve this road name. Any further comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Okay?
Okay. Now we need to hold another public hearing regarding a request from Jimmy Gorganis to name a lane off of Laura Lane. He would like to name it David Norris Lane.
Okay. I'm going to open back up for another public hearing concerning this road naming. Anybody from the public want to speak? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and come back to the pleasure of the board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Road name is accepted.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item number five. Mr. Hatcher.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's with great pleasure that tonight we will bring you the Duplin County Unified Development Ordinance. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Austin Brinkley with Insight Planning, who has a short presentation for the board.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Chairman, for having me tonight to present your UDO. So just to give you a timeline of how we got to where we're at here tonight. Back in December, we presented the first draft of the UDO to your planning board. The planning board met in January to review and discuss independently amongst themselves. We came back in February to review that second draft, and then tonight we are presenting the final draft for your hearing and adoption. So just to give you a brief definition of what a UDO or a Unified Development Ordinance may be, this is a single document that combines subdivision, zoning, and other regulatory language that concerns land use into one singular document to make it more clear and concise, to eliminate language that may conflict with it and make it easier for implementation. So Duplin County currently has seven separate ordinances. This UDO is combining those seven separate ordinances into one here. As you can see here, these are the separate ordinances listed out. Your airport land use and height restriction, that's just incorporated by reference. We didn't take the text of that and put it in here. There is a section reserved that refers you to that document. So what we achieved here is we did produce a user-friendly document that's going to include comprehensive definitions that will apply to the entire ordinance. It's not a comprehensive rewrite, but it does bring your existing language into uniformity and into compliance with Chapter 160D of the North Carolina General Statutes. And then again, it just provides you clarification of certain components with how that language applies to what exists in your ordinance. And so your UDO is structured as follows, with individual articles beginning with purpose and organization, going through your administrative procedures, development approvals, your subdivision regulations, and then certain things like manufactured homes, adult business, junkyard, your solar energy, your flood damage prevention, and airport land use and height restriction. So the purpose and organization, this is the article that starts your UDO off. It's an article that really establishes your legal authority, the purpose for the UDO. It establishes your planning jurisdiction, and it touches on a comprehensive land use plan, which the county does have. Talks about split jurisdiction and how those issues will be handled, what subdivisions are going to be exempt from your subdivision standards, nonconformities, and then how the building code applies with this authority. So your definitions, this article does contain all of your definitions. Your flood definitions were left inside of Article 11 to make it easier whenever you have a community action visit. We do have new definitions in there that are statutorily required. Some were amended to provide clarity, but most of these definitions you already had in existence. So looking at your administrative mechanisms, it establishes your boards, their composition, duties and responsibilities, and it sets the role for your administrative staff where your county planner serves as the administrator of this UDO. It talks about things such as conflicts of interest, your rules, and familial relationships. And you do have a planning board, a board of adjustment, and the board of commissioners here in Duplin County. So the review process, again, this goes through each separate type of approval that may be issued under the provisions of your UDO, the process that's going to follow that review process. So whenever you have an amendment to it, it establishes moratoria, what has vested rights, what permit choice applies to, any kind of development agreements, appeals, variances, quasi-judicial procedure, and how the UDO is to be enforced whenever your administrator finds a violation of it. And so types of development approval, a little bit more specifically, include your subdivision, which is going to either be approved by the administrator or the planning board, construction through the administrator, special use will be approved by the board of adjustment, same as variances, site plans will go through UDO administrator or your planning board, the floodplain administrator is responsible for flood review, the board of commissioners would be a responsible party for approving any kind of development agreement, and then the overall operation would be your UDO administrator. Standard approval time is 12 months unless specifically indicated otherwise. And so your subdivision regulations really makes up a large portion of your UDO. This sets forth the requirements for the subdivision of land, the installation of infrastructure, any kind of design standards, and what types of guarantees may be required. And the process is going to go through from, you know, conception stage to recording your final plat. And so one addition has been made to the document that's before you tonight that was not in the document reviewed by the planning board. It's a minor addition, which wouldn't require it to go back to the planning board. Chris and I talked about it, and we realized there really wasn't anything in there to address easements. So we've provided a definition for an easement specifically to include language where structures can't be located within the boundary of a recorded easement. It also put in restrictions on your access easements as far as establishing structures observing setbacks from those easements so you can protect that dedicated area that's on the plat. And so these are your statutory exemptions provided by 160D. You have a recombination, a 10-acre exemption, public acquisition exemption, a lot of 2 acres not divided into more than three, and then your probated will exemption. You do have a private easement exemption where lots can be created on a 30-foot easement, a maximum of 3 lots that'll be approved by the administrator. A service subdivision, which this is a special type of subdivision to create lots for utility purposes, cemeteries, well sites, communication towers, things of that nature. There'd be a lot of restrictive covenants involved in those type of divisions. You have your type A expedited minor, where the tract to be divided is greater than 5 acres. No parts been divided within the 10 previous years. It doesn't qualify as any of the other exemptions, and then no more than three lots are being created. These are statutorily required per 160D 802. Again, that would go through your UDO administrator for approval. Type B minor would be all lots having frontage on an existing DOT right-of-way, creating no more than five parcels, and there being a five-year restriction between this type of division and any further division on resultant lots. That was really placed in there to prevent circumvention of your subdivision rules. Minor subdivision being 10 or fewer lots with 120 feet of frontage on an existing right-of-way, that would go to the planning board. Then same with a major subdivision, it wouldn't qualify for anything previously listed, and that would have to go to planning board as well. And so the review procedure that's established by this UDO, your minor in service, they're going to submit a final plat to the planning board 7 days before they meet to discuss. Your major subdivisions would go through a sketch and preliminary approval process prior to getting to that final plat, and that review would be conducted on a submittal schedule that's developed within your planning department. And so performance guarantees, you're going to see these 9 times out of 10 with your major subdivisions. In the event somebody has a plat they're ready to record, the infrastructure's not in place yet, it allows them to place that guarantee so the county has a way of ensuring that the improvements are going to be made, and you hold that fee until the time of such completion. This language comes from 160D. We included the development types that were in your existing ordinance as far as multifamily goes in its application to condos, duplexes, and townhouses, and we the same plan unit development language that's always been in it was transferred to the UDO as well. So your manufactured home and travel trailer park, this sets forth your standards for types of for how these types of development are to occur. There was really not many edits that were made to this article to get it compliant with what the statutes require. One thing, the home park operator can sell the lots, but only when the entire park is being divided and all infrastructure within the park would be meeting standards of a subdivision. Essentially, they would have to legally be converting the whole park into a manufactured home subdivision in order to sell off any individual lots within the manufactured home park. Your adult business regulations, this article is very short, but it sets forth standards for how adult businesses are to be dealt with. It requires a special use permit for the establishment of an adult business. Because of the sensitive nature of such uses, we have the language structured to where the Board of Commissioners would serve in the role as the Board of Adjustment to perform the quasi-judicial review for proposed adult businesses. Junkyard and salvage yard, there was really not many edits necessary needed to bring this into compliance with the statutes. Solar energy facilities, again, we did not have to make many edits to find this to be compliant with the statutes. This article was already completely in compliance due to its recency of when it was adopted. And then the airport land use and height restriction, again, that was in compliance and it's incorporated by reference as previously mentioned. And so to conclude, your UDO is compliant with state standards. It sets forth clear, user-friendly language and processes for the administrator to implement and enforce. The county does not have any zoning. The only form of zoning you have is your airport land use and height restriction. The adoption of this UDO does not establish any kind of zoning. In the future, if the county ever decided it wanted to implement it, we would recommend that you would need a comprehensive update to this UDO to include your zoning regulations. And so at this time, the board can take three actions. You could approve, you could continue it and refer it back to the planning board, or you could deny the request with specific changes. And if you have any questions, I can take them at this time.
Does the commissioner have a question for him at this point?
I just want clarification. Nothing has changed in our ordinances per se as far as regarding measurements, lot size, anything like that. This just gets us into compliance.
Yeah, there was no changes made to minimum lot sizes. Your lot sizes remain the same, so it's not going to have the effect of creating multiple non-conforming lots within the county.
Okay. And the easement size stays the same, all of that.
So your easement does reduce in size to 30 feet. Chris, what is the current size? Is it 50?
The current is at 50.
Yeah.
The planning board wished to move forward with 30.
Any other commissioner have a question?
I may have missed it in the reading, but is it anything that speaks to tiny homes? Does it fall up under mobile home? How does that work?
Tiny homes are just viewed as normal homes because of our lot size requirement due to the lack of sewer and water in the county. We need that lot size to adequately have enough space to have a well system and a septic system. So when a tiny home comes through, it's just viewed. It could be 800 square feet or it could be 2,000 square feet. We're going to look at it just the same.
Okay.
Because it still has to meet state standards for building code requirements.
So the only thing that changes is the 30-foot easement size.
Yeah, so that
is... My question is, I ain't even got to ask because I know we went through this 6 months ago.
Yes, your numeric change, yeah, that went from 50 to 30, but everything else was just what...
What's... But DOT still requires 45, correct?
So when they want to build a road, they will have to maintain, they will have to get the 45 feet width if they want to build a road.
The intent
for the 30 feet was to actually reduce, because they will have to go to the Board of Adjustment if they try to receive a variance to have that fourth lot on an access easement. So then they have to have it on the access easement, so they have to show the hardships, and the hardships cannot be financial. So for those people who present it as we can't afford to build a road, that's not a true hardship, and the Board of Adjustment would actually have to turn those down. It would not be approving those.
But if we approve this, they get a 30, they can get by with a 30 foot and they don't have to go before the Board of Adjustment.
They only get the three lots on access easement. They don't get any more. So the only thing that changed is the width of the easement, but everything about the easement stayed the same.
But they still can have three lots with 30-foot easement.
Correct. Three lots with a 30-foot easement is the max.
Any other commissioner have a question? Okay, now I'm going to open back up for another public hearing. So anybody from the public that wants to question, feel free to question. Any comments from the public?
Question.
Yes, sir.
Question is, could it get an understanding of what they mean by the adult business? Because I've heard him mention that twice. What is that referring to?
So adult businesses are going to apply to sexually oriented businesses such as adult motion picture theaters, adult bookstores. North Carolina statutes say that you have to allow for them. You can put restrictions on them. One of the restrictions being that they would have to get a special use permit, so it's not anything that the administrator could permit by right. It would be something that has to undergo quasi-judicial review. So you're having to make four findings of fact before you could ever issue that permit. So it's the way that it is proposed, it is regulated as strictly as you're legally allowed to regulate an adult business in North Carolina. So I hope that answers. Yeah.
Any other questions from the public? Feel free, now's your time. Hearing no more questions, I'm going to close the public hearing. And we're back into open session, and I will take a recommendation from the board moving forward. And this recommendation I'm asking for is either let's speak to adoption or speak to not adopt.
I recommend send it back and get the 30-foot changed back to 50 like our ordinances are now. And that's the only problem I have with it. There's a reason we were at 50.
Okay. I got a motion to not adopt this ordinance and send it back to the board for moving away from the 30-foot easement back to a 50-foot easement. Is that the motion?
That's the motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so I got a motion and a second. Further comments?
I've got several people that have requested that it be a 30-foot easement. That have approached me, and I've been dealing with this for 6 months with Mr. Hatch. And so they request 30 feet. And that's what, go ahead, sir.
If I can speak to the 30 feet just from personal experience. A 50-foot easement or a 50-foot right-of-way, which is usually the minimum of what DOT would require, would either be 50 or 60 feet. You need that much width for installation of utilities, the constructed road, and many other things that are included in that right-of-way. The way it's being proposed with a maximum of 3, if I remember correctly, on 30 feet, you don't typically see other municipalities or county governments requiring more than 30 feet for an access easement for 3 lots. I've worked in Onslow County, and Onslow, I believe it was 20. I've seen several other rural counties that 30 may be the maximum that they require. Obviously, respect your decision, whatever you want to make, but I did just want to state that 50 is a bit excessive for an access easement for only 3 lots. So that's just been my personal experience with those. A 30-foot easement is adequate size to support a graveled, improved access for emergency services and for general access to the properties. So I just wanted to share that with you.
See, I'll be honest with you. A 30-foot easement, once you ditch it on each side, if you're required to keep your drainage ditch inside that 30-foot easement, if you have to put a ditch on each side of your access road is going to be less than 10 foot. So you're down to a single lane road that can get iffy. I mean, our county has been there. I mean, it gets to the point the emergency services can't get in, you can't meet, and it is an issue. And that is why we went from 30 foot to 50 foot to combat those issues. And that's why I personally want to stay on 50 feet.
Yeah. I've not seen those issues. I understand what you're saying, but I just wanted to share. That's why we recommended the 30 in our proposed draft. So, thank you.
Mr. Hatcher, may I ask you to come to the podium, please?
Yes, sir.
Could you speak to us as commissioners, what kind of impact you have had in people requesting the easement of 30 feet versus the 50?
So, we've had quite a few of the surveyors reach out through the citizens requesting a reduction from 50 to 30 feet, all because of that. When someone grants that access easement of 50 feet down their property line, that is just unusable area that they cannot use. So if you think 50, if you got a 200-foot property line and it's 50 feet wide, that's what, 50 times 200, looking at 1,000 square feet of area that's not usable for your property. Plus, then too, they also have to gain that additional square footage on the other side of that property to maintain that usable area of a half acre of the 21,780 some odd square feet. Those were the bigger issues that we heard coming from the public as far as when I do this access easement, I can understand what the purpose is for the 50, but if we're just creating one or two, three lots out of that amount of square footage that I'm losing would actually sometimes hinder someone from being able to subdivide their piece of property. Sometimes people can't get the 50-foot access easement because their property doesn't have it, and they have to share it with the neighboring property to gain that 50-foot access easement. Some property owners are willing to share that, some are not. Those are the major concerns that we've had recently with the 50 feet and asking for the reduction to the 30 feet. But again, it is the Board of Commissioners' decision over if we would like to reduce or to maintain as we are now.
Do you see the 30 feet easement being used to try to look at dividing up any type of subdivision coming in to get to the three lots to allow some way to get around the group ordinance that you've got today?
Not if I can help it. We've already got the three lot on access easement implemented today. So this is not going to, the way that it will be reviewed is not going to be changed. It's just going to be a reduction in the access easement. So I try my best to catch every little nick and little issue there that I can to making sure that every single lot that's created in Duplin County meets our subdivision ordinance. It meets our minimum lot size requirements and meets our minimum frontage requirements when we have, because on the access easement, you also have frontage requirements as well. It is an exempt division. So they are allowed, it exempts them from the major subdivision ordinance, so they don't have to build the road. But the access easement, by definition, is 18 feet wide for 4 inches of compact gravel. The remaining 32 feet is there for the egress, ingress, drainage, utilities, anything that comes through there. Here in Duplin County, we don't have a lot of water. We don't have a lot of sewer. And so sometimes I do question if any of that leftover footage is used for any of those purposes. But to answer your question,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
To send it back to planning, what cons would we be facing in terms of citizens' needs that's in the works? Does it delay that further? Does it create any type of backdraft as a result of that decision?
Well, as Commissioner Dow said, this started before me, and I'm trying to bring it home. And so we do have citizens who were hoping that this 50 would reduce down to 30. If it is decided tonight to go back to planning board, I'll take it back to planning board. I'll send an email tomorrow and say we'll take it back to planning board in April for this month, for March, and we can review that one item and get the planning board's decision if they would refer to revert back to the 50 and then come to the 30. My question though for the board is, if it comes back as a 30 for a recommendation, are we going to be in a cycle of going back? You as the commissioners have the ability to keep it at 50 and not send it back to the planning board if desired. We could make the changes that the commissioners would like to keep it as is, or if we would like to go back and increase it, or you can send it back to planning board. It's up to your decisions on this one.
Well, the motion that's on the floor, correct me if I'm wrong, the motion on the floor was to not adopt it, to send it back to the county board, the planning board, to revisit the 50 foot, because the motion is we don't want to adopt the 30 foot. That was the motion, right?
That's my motion.
Yeah, so that's the motion and the second that's on the floor.
I am willing to amend my motion if it is legally possible to keep the 50 foot easement. I am willing to amend my motion and not send it back to the planning board as long as we can retain the 50-foot easement. If you say it doesn't have to go back to the planning board, I'm good with that.
It would be...
But I'm just saying I'm a no vote the way it is right now.
You need to continue this hearing to a date certain.
Yep.
We can make the change to the document to change 30 to 50, and you could adopt it at the date you continue it to. You just need to be explicit in the date that you continue the hearing to.
So essentially, if you would like to continue it to the next commissioner's meeting here in March, that it's a simple letter change or number change from 30 to 50, and it can be brought back. So we would table it until the next March commissioner's meeting, if I'm correct in that.
Can you do, you just need to make sure it's stated and clear that it's going to be continued to that date. You don't have to re-advertise.
Right. If we go back to planning board, I think we then have to re-advertise for this.
So, legal. Are we in compliance if he makes that amendment to his motion?
So long as we do it how you recommended, yeah. Right, and have a continue this public hearing to present a second time with the text modification.
Yes, yeah, so it's a motion to continue to the next date in March for us to go change that number.
Can you explain what you were saying a while ago, Chris, about the 45 foot with the state?
So the state requires between 45 to 50 feet when you actually want to build a road. So for instance, our major subdivision ordinance, you will have to build a road when you develop that property, and it has to be built to North Carolina DOT state standards for it to be adopted. That is where the 45 comes in. We currently have 50, and my understanding is the intent previously was if someone wanted to have the fourth lot on a private access easement, that automatically becomes a major subdivision. They would have to pave the road and bring it into NCDOT standards to have that fourth lot. They would have to go through the preliminary plat and final plat ordinance. What has happened in the past is that everyone has went for a variance request, and they would have to show a hardship to be granted that fourth lot on an access easement. This request going from 50 feet to 30 feet still applies to all of that. If we kept it at 30 feet, someone wanted that fourth lot, they would have to then gain another 15 feet to bring that area into compliance and build it to NCDOT standards, or they would have to be granted a variance by the Board of Adjustment.
Chris, here's why I have the feelings I do.
Yes, sir.
I see too many subdivisions with three trailer houses in them, no gravel on the road. It turns into a mud hole, hill to hole, hill to hole, hill to hole. This little subdivision, the value in it goes down from the originality of when it was built. And then the home values start going down, and then you see the neighborhood just go to dump. That is why. If it is a 50-foot easement right out the gate, you have the ability to have a DOT vote, period.
So under current ordinance as it stands today, without adopting the new UDO, you're allowed to have up to three mobile homes on one piece of property as long as they are family. And they cannot be used for sale. You cannot sell it. You cannot lease it. And when you hit that fourth mobile home on the property, then it becomes a mobile home park. If they are subdividing a piece of property into three different parcels, so you'd have a road front parcel, or you could have one road front parcel, and then you'd have three on access easement, you would have to have that access easement put into place for those to work. But having three mobile homes on one piece of property sometimes doesn't always equal that it is an access easement. We're actually working on that as well. The same thing would apply to if people wanted to have multiple homes on their property. the way my interpretation of the ordinance is that we can only have one primary structure on a property. We can't have multiple other than accessory structures. The ordinance specifically states that you can have multiple mobile homes on a piece of property. So while that's, as long as they're family, there was a circumvention of the access easement requirement. Because then, hey, if we've got an acre and a half of land, I can put three mobile homes as long as it'll perk. So the access easement only comes into play when they tried to subdivide those property. But I completely understand what you're coming from with that. And it is a mess, but that's essentially, sometimes that's just a very big driveway. But that also creates a lane, which our UDO is trying to cut back on the amount of lanes that we are trying to create in the county. I've been here 6 months, and we all have seen how many lanes have been created recently. With this new UDO, we will be reducing that as well. So I think there's a lot good in this UDO, and I can understand the 30 to 50. I just was hoping that wouldn't hold us up, but I completely understand where the board wants to take this, if that is their will.
Yeah. And like I said, I've been working on this before he even came on board. And then when he came on board, I approached him with it. And then, of course, there's been other citizens that have showed interest in the 30-foot easement. And it doesn't have anything to do with mobile home parks, what they're trying to do as far as the property.
You have to be prepared for that's where it's going.
Well, he just said it. It's an ordinance in place to prevent that.
And I guess, too, for me, it's the citizens have been waiting for quite some time already. You got the variance board in place to argue any issue that may come up down the road. And then at that time, it could possibly be revisited after the fact if we were to move forward, correct?
It could. Text amendments can always happen.
Right. I got you.
The motion that is on the floor that we're dealing with is that this public hearing be extended until March the 18th, that the correct date.
Correct.
And then at that point, we can vote on the ordinance. And it was being extended to then due to the 50 versus the 30 foot right of way, correct?
Correct.
That's the motion on the floor. Any more comments?
So, in other words, from what I understand, he just said is that it's been tabled without the word table.
Well, I think it's
been extended.
Public hearing.
The public hearing has been extended for 2 weeks. That's what we're doing here.
Okay, and if the UDO, or if the board comes back with the same recommendation,
With it being tabled now, it would just be an increase from 50 to 30.
From my understanding, it's just for them to review it, or you want them to change.
It's not going back. We clarified the amendment. We put the amendment in the motion, and it's not going back to the planning board.
So we just delaying the vote.
Well, you know, it was a motion, but there was no vote call.
Yeah, I mean, but he amended his motion.
Well, I amended and that we send it back to the planning board to have a determination if they will review it again. I mean, because, you know, they worked on this diligently before today. And that was one of the things that I requested, that he look to see if it was feasible for them to have the 30-foot as opposed to 50-foot. So that's the reason we waited this long. It's been over 6 months.
Well, he's made a friendly amendment of his own motion, and so are you now making a motion to amend his motion?
Yes, that it go back to the board to have them review it to see if it's feasible.
That was my original motion.
I know.
And we don't have to do that.
Well,
because I mean, you know what they're going to come back with, same thing.
Well, not necessarily, but you know, they've already looked at it to see if it was feasible.
So I have one legal question that I do not know the answer to. Does the planning board have to make the recommendation? Does this UDO have to come before this board pursuant to a recommendation from the planning board.
Right, that's what the planning board is there for. We have the planning board in place to make recommendations to the Board of Commissioners with the UDO. If the board, to my understanding, if the board wants to send it back to the planning board, they can, with requests of researching the easement, or it could be requested tonight to be amended back to the 30 feet and then be brought to the next commissioner's meeting. There's two items that are on the table right now.
What I'm trying to get clarification on, and I think it goes to both Mr. Edwards' questions, is that does this board not have the authority to, instead of motioning to continue the public hearing, simply modifying, adopting this, making a motion to adopt the UDO as presented, but with 50 feet instead of 30 feet?
Yes, they do. The planning board's already met their legal requirement by reviewing and making a recommendation. It does not have to go back to the planning board unless the Board of Commissioners directs it to go back to the planning board. Board of Commissioners can adopt it as is, or they can say this needs to change and we'll adopt it this way. It's already met its statutory requirement being reviewed by the planning board.
And so they could, Mr. Edwards could amend his motion to simply be motion to adopt the UDO as presented, but a 50 feet easement instead of a 30 feet.
Yes, and then we can provide you with an updated copy with that in it, and then Chairman Edwards can sign.
To me, that makes the most sense from an efficiency standpoint to vote on that motion, and then if that motion fails, then we can see where to go from there. I mean, otherwise, we've got to have a ruling on Mr. Dow's motion to amend your motion.
While we're still discussing this motion, before we go any further, is there any reason for why we went from 50 to 30 versus, you know, some compromise in the middle with 40 or whatever? Why did we drop to 30 from 50?
Doing some research from my understanding, again, this was prior to me doing my own benchmarking, going and looking at other counties. Some were 20, some were 30, and some were still at the 50. The 30 is kind of the middle point for other counties using the same type of subdivision access easement that we have. And it was also requested, we had citizens reach out, we've had surveyors reach out, that 30 is more feasible and it works, I guess you could say it works more geometry related to a piece of property when you don't have to end up losing so much of your property to an access easement that's not usable.
And I understand that, but I also heard Commissioner Edwards with the width you would have left when you put proper drainage on each inside of your 30.
Right.
And another 10 feet would give you dual access inside those two ditches that he was referring to, because he said you'd end up with 10 feet. Well, if it was 40 instead of 30, that would put you ending up with another 10 feet, which would be 20. So you could have, you know, passing access. And one of his problems was not having passing access, was the way he described it.
Understood.
And I'm just
That's correct.
Saying this, there was consideration to go somewhere in between. We might not would be locking down people that are squeezed on property to knocking them out because we're requiring 50, but yet we're getting our access opportunities for passing.
And you're correct. Up. I mean, you know, if the board would come, if the board could come to a compromise and see if 40 was more relevant and they felt that it would work, NCDOT standards is a minimum of 45. I mean, we're at that point, we're 5 feet short of it. Then we're only 5 feet short of what we already had. At the end, is the citizen gaining anything with that? But I completely understand where the board is coming from. If you've got the requirements for drainage, the ordinance requires 18 feet width of 4-inch compacted stone. That is what the egress-ingress easement is for.
All right, so let me stop you right there just a minute. We approve the 30 foot. Just say we back up and we say, all right, 30 foot. Then what's going to happen when they go? We go out there and there's not 4 foot or 4 inches of gravel?
That's a violation. But the county doesn't maintain easements. The state doesn't maintain easements. It's put it on the plat that is the responsibility of the owner of the easement to maintain and ensure. That's correct.
So how, then what are we, if we're requiring 4 inches, then why is that even in there if we're not going to enforce it?
Well, one of the...
Whether you're 30 foot, 50 foot, or 100 foot.
Correct.
You can put anything in writing you want to put, but if we're not going to enforce it, what good is it?
And would it be more important to have some enforcement on the road upkeep? I mean, if I think what Commissioner Edwards spoke to originally when he was discussing not being able to pass, he was discussing bad roads that was, you know, not really accessible for our 911 calls. So would we be better off to put some type of enforcement into the roads versus putting all of our effort on the width of the roads?
If we were to try to enforce those things more heavily, we would require extra staff to take care of these things. We would need essentially a code enforcement officer to go out there and to do inspections for all of these types of easements that are put into place.
But at the end of the day, if you try to enforce it, what are you...
We would hold the plat. If they didn't have it in place at the time of plat approval, then we could hold the plat and not say, no, do you have a signature on it? So it would not receive planning department approval. So it could not be recorded.
Well, I truly believe, my feeling at least, from what I gathered from Mr. Edwards, Commissioner Edwards' motion, is he's concerned about the upkeep of the small access for our 911 calls mainly.
Right. And I can understand that. And then the upkeep of these access easements, because they are owned by the personal, you know, it is required on the plat that the easement holder be the one to maintain it. So essentially it is a civil matter for them to maintain it and to keep it the way we want it. If the board wishes that the planning department has more enforceability on that, that can be happened, but it is going to require extra staff.
Well, it's like Commissioner Garn said.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would really suggest the board approve the UDO as presented, with the amendment to a 50-foot road easement. I have seen what Commissioner Edwards is speaking about firsthand. If you want to research it, it's called Ross Acres Road Number 2, where emergency services vehicles were not able to provide curbside service to the residents on the road. So I would recommend to the board to approve it with the amendment like the county attorney suggested to a 50-foot easement.
Legal. With all of the, I'm a little bit lost. Okay. With everything we have talked and asked for, okay. Well, where are we at from a legal standpoint?
So, I did have one question on that. Did somebody second Mr. Edwards' original motion?
Yes, Mr. Garner.
So, I'll second on that. And then Mr. Dow made a motion to amend his motion. So, he would either, his motion either needs to be
withdrawn.
Withdrawn, okay. So, his motion's withdrawn. So, now we're back to Mr. Edwards' motion, wherever that stands right now. But I know he kind of wanted to propose exactly the motion.
But the last motion he had that the second agreed to was carried it back to the planning board and keeping the public hearing open until March the 18th.
What I want to do is what our county manager just proposed.
But that's not the motion on the floor, guys. I'm just trying to tell you that.
Well, he did.
Withdraw or amend that motion to such state that.
I withdraw my original motion and my amended motion, and my motion right now is to accept the UDO with the 50-foot access easement to remain.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
Do we have any further discussion?
Is that in line with what the county manager said?
Yeah, that's exactly what the county manager said.
That's cool.
Is that correct, county manager?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Did you vote, sir? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, but...
Okay, so that was four ayes and one no. So it carried. You got your ordinance, but that's with the 50 foot.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sorry that it took so long, but we needed clarification. All right, that brings us to item number six. Mr. Miller, are you going to turn this over to someone else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I am. I'm going to ask the Assistant County Manager, Kerry Shields, to handle item number six.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, I appear before you tonight requesting approval of a $40,223,100 contract with Daniels & Daniels Construction Company, INC, for the construction of the new detention center. Subject to the securement of necessary funding and the review, negotiation, and approval of the contract terms by the conditions of the county attorney, to authorize the county manager to sign the construction contract with Daniels & Daniels upon final review by the county attorney, and to approve all associated budget amendments.
Did everybody hear the motion request?
Yep.
So I don't need to repeat it.
But this pending funding, sourcing the funding, correct?
Say again, excuse me.
This is contingent to us being able to receive the additional funding that we're looking for, correct?
That's correct.
I make the motion.
Okay, I've got a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Now, discussion. For the record, can you tell us how many bed, what bed size this construction is?
This will be the three pod, and it will be a total of 234 bed facility.
Okay, just make sure that that was on record. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Did I hear everybody?
Yes.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to recognize Jeremiah Daniels with Daniels & Daniels that's present here tonight to receive this announcement. So thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. This is something that's been long waiting. I'm looking forward to it.
We've already got it started, so I'm glad there wasn't
now. You should have said that beforehand. We'd let you keep working.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
All right, that brings us to item number seven. Mr. Miller.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll ask the Assistant County Manager, Kerry Shields, to carry forward.
Yes, thank you. For announcements, I would like to make an announcement of the early voting totals. For a total of early voting numbers for the Kenansville precinct is 1,265 votes. For Wallace is 617, totaling 1,882. As you all are aware, primary election is tomorrow, March the 5th. Our polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. I'm here to answer any questions, as well as my counterpart, Mr. Bryan, should you have any other additional questions.
Any more questions or comments? At this time, I would entertain a motion to go into closed session for legal matters to statute 143-318.11 and personnel matters 143-318.11A6.
So moved.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're officially going into closed session. Thank all of you for attending. Appreciate the participation tonight. Maybe we drug it out a little bit longer than we needed to, but we needed clarification. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, come on back in. We're in officially in open session. Okay, thank you. Now, commissioners, you have anything you want to bring up in open session tonight? I entertain a motion.
We do adjourn.
Second.
Got a motion to adjourn until March the 18th, I believe it is. And a second. Any further discussion? Well, I'd just like to say before I call for the vote, it's been a long night. A lot more than usual, but thank you for your time. Thank the staff for their time. And Mr. Miller, I hope you get feeling well soon. With that said, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Adjourn. Thank you.